The word today is, can God really use me? I want you to think and reflect on yourself. And the word that God has placed in my spirit this morning is, can God really use me? When I say, can God really use me, he's not talking about the preachers and the ministers, but he's talking about you. God is trying to use us today. You don't have to be a preacher. You just have to be called. You don't have to be a minister. You just need to be available. It's so easy to look to others for your spiritual growth. But God is trying to get us to understand that he wants you to make time for him to use you. With God having the opportunity to use you, he's going to do powerful and great things in your life. Your equipment is not your flesh. But in the power of the Holy Ghost, when you were saved, you became a new creature in Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So many times we want to be used from God, but we're not available for him. We want to be used by God, but we're not ready to receive of him. But God is saying to each and every one of you, like the testimony of the sister this morning, he brought great changes in her life. God is transforming somebody in here, but he's trying to use you. He's going to change your life in every way. If you only allow him to use you. There's a scripture that I have this morning, 2 Corinthians 5th chapter and 17th verse. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away, and behold, all things what become new. And I want to stop on that scripture right there. It's because the scripture says, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creature said, the scripture says that all things passed away, and behold, all things become new. So if you used to be something before you received Christ, when you receive or after you receive the Lord, guess what? You are a brand new vessel. You have been made whole, you've been changed, but God is saying that I cannot maintain what I've done with your life because you're not ready to be used by me. You keep on coming up with excuses for what you're doing rather than saying, Lord, look at the little bit of blessings you already brought in my life. Think about it. God blesses you. He saves you. He puts you on a street called straight. And then the first thing we do is we don't have time for the Lord. And then we blame him when our life starts to unravel. But God is saying to ask yourself, can God really use you? He's saying his answer is, I am sitting here waiting on you because I want to bless you because I've already made you new. I've already changed your environment. I changed who you were hanging out with. I changed who was influencing your life. And now you're just sitting there idle. And the Bible says the idle mind is the what? The devil's workshop. So we're going to go there with the word today. They're talking about trying to be used by God. Who you were is no longer alive. Look at yourself, touch yourself, say, who I was is no longer alive. When you became a new creature in Christ, guess what? Old things have passed away. All things became new. So that means your thinking is new. The people you hang out is new. Old things have passed away and all things become new. That means that who you were is no longer alive. Think about that. Who you were is no longer alive because the new creature creation of you is alive. The new creation of you is alive. Now that new creation of you is trying to take form and line up with the word of God. The newness that you're going through in this transformation is trying to lead and guide you through the Holy Ghost. But you and I and each and everyone that's in this place today, newness does not come without a challenge. You understand me? You ever get a new car and you never drove it before and you were at the dealership and they got all these new gadgets in the car? How many of you went through that experience? And they're like, yeah, you got a special button for the trunk. Well, I just tell you right now, one day I used my father's car, and he had this new Mercedes, and I went to the gas station, and I probably took 20 minutes trying to figure out where the gas tank button was to release it open. Because even though it was a new Velcro and I felt pretty good in it, if I couldn't put gas in it, guess what? I'm not going nowhere. This is what's going on in the lives of God people. He's giving you a new vessel. He's giving you a new vehicle. And he's trying to equip you with information how to use it. And you don't want to hear from the word of God. And he's trying to show you that the gas button is up under the seat somewhere hidden. But no, we don't want to hear from God. We just said, Lord, clean me and make me whole. Change my life. How many of us have been going through struggle? Like the sister said today, she was going through a struggle in her life and she cried out to the God that she knows, which is the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob and Isaac. And when she called to Jesus, she called to him and said, whoever calls on my name shall be saved. And Jesus, the word of God did not come short. You see, he performed it. How many of you been changed when you received Jesus in your life? You might have experienced where you were gangbanging, you were walking the streets, you were shooting up. But now that you have Jesus in your life, all things have become new. Now you have this new vehicle, and you have to figure out how to use it. You no longer live for you, but for him. You no longer live for you. Now, that's where the problem comes. We say, Lord, come in my life, but I'm still in control of this thing. You no longer live for you. So if you don't live for you, why is it that the flesh is so much in control? Why is it that the flesh has so much say? And one thing about the flesh is this. The flesh never lines up with the word of God. It's enmity against God. It's against him. So your flesh will do stuff like this. Oh, well, I need to be at church this week. Well, I'm tired. That's the flesh speaking. Oh, well, maybe you missed that Sunday. Okay, well, maybe you need to go to Bible study. Well, I'm tired. Okay, that's fine. Well, you have already set aside some time to pray. And then, no, I'm tired. It's the same word. You're receiving the same word from the flesh. The flesh is ministering to your spirit, making you not align with the will of God, because God is trying to line you up with the Holy Ghost and with the will of his Father. And you too tired? But we are like this. The first time God bless us with something special, we're the first ones jumping up saying, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God made a way for me. He is saying to us, we're too tired to receive counsel. Now, the Bible says that he said he left us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Now, if it's trying to lead and guide you and you're never listening, the Holy Spirit's going to jump and go somewhere else. And that's what this message is about today, because We are a new creature, and we've been born again, but we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for God. You not only live for him, but you live. Think about that. Now, look at the experiences you had before you were saved. When the devil had you down, was you living? When the devil was all up in your mind and destroying your mind, you ever see somebody where they look totally normal, but when you speak to them, their mind is all over the place? God did not have to wake you up this morning and keep you in your right mind. But he did, and we still have the nerve to not trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean to his own understanding. Because we refuse to live for him. Not only live for him, but you live in him, and he lives in you, a you by the Holy Spirit. Now, see, the thing is, this is a joint venture. Now that you're saved, you're born again, you accepted Jesus in your life, guess what? You have been clean, you've been swept out, and now we need to get some information about how to operate. How many of us just need some information how to get by? That's what the Word of God is all about. That information, transferring that information over to you so that you can fight a fight of faith. Yes. It's not enough to stand up and testify and share about the goodness of God. God has something for you. He's trying to bless you. He's trying to use you. Yes. See, because everybody don't see me, but the people that know you and you and you are going to go to you. And you're holding them back from being blessed. So as we say that we want God to use us, we have to know that the enemy is destroying families and friendships. And we all come to the church and say, well, Lord, Pastor, you know, they ain't acting right. They ain't even getting it right. And then when we go sit with you, we find out that you're doing the same thing. Or if you go to them, they say, yeah, they never have any time for me. You see what I mean? God is trying to use you. He's trying to use each and every one of us. Okay, let's go on. Christ's intention in saving you was to convert you from living for yourself to living for God. See that? His intention to saving you was to convert you from living for yourself. Now that you're saved, what we want to do is we want to live for ourselves. And it says, and by virtue of you living for God, you live in a new way because his life is now moving in you. See, so now your life, the life of Christ, is moving and living in us. Amen? And because he's moving and living with us, guess what? We're going to be more than victorious. I'm going to go into a scripture because I'm not going to hold you much longer today. I want you to turn to Matthew 12, 43 and 50. It's going to be 12, 43 through 45. In the Old Testament, In the natural way of things, it was set up like this. There were assigned watchmen. And their particular task was to watch the walls of Jerusalem. The task of a watchman is to watch the walls. But we also saw that, spiritually speaking, the leaders and elders of Israel were called watchmen because they watched and guarded and cared for the souls of God's people. I'm going somewhere with this. Watchmen was assigned originally to watch the walls of the city. All right? And they were to look out and they were to watch out for who was coming in. Now, spiritually speaking, what happened was the elders and those that were leaders were assigned to be watchmen over the souls of God's people. And the New Testament doesn't change this. So even in the New Testament, it hasn't changed. But I want to go somewhere with this. Is this reason why? Is because when God says you're to watch for the souls, what he is saying is that he assigned responsibility to each and every one of us. And if you're a leader, a watchman, you're to watch for their soul. That's why a lot of people say, well, I don't want to go to church because nobody needs to know my business. They all up in my business. But when you were going through, you were crying out for help. Now, I don't know about you, but when you're addicted and you're on the street and can't get up and you can't even help your family, everybody sees it. We, for some reason, think that our stuff, everything that we go through, no one knows about. Only the devil can get that in your head. Everyone knows. So why not seek help? The help is waiting on you. But, you know, the devil wants you to get off into a place of loneliness and don't want to get help. The people of God don't want to work with one another and love on each other. So somebody is struggling and suffering. So the Bible says that we're to watch for your soul. But I'm going to talk about the unclean spirit, because I'm going to talk about what happened when God changed your life and he had made you new again. And this is where I'm going with the message. It says in the 43, it says 12:43, it says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. Now, this is what's going on in the lives. The Bible says when an unclean spirit has been cast out of a man, he goes into dry places, and then he comes back and he tries to figure out if he can get back in. And we're going to talk about this morning, because some of us have been saved and received Jesus as our Lord and Savior and wondering why we can't maintain what God has given us. When the sister was sharing her testimony, I want her to be able to maintain everything that God has given her, because now she's victorious in Christ Jesus. 10 years from now, she's got a greater testimony. Because what God has given you has been promised to you, and no man, no devil, no demon has a right to it. But we as a people of God got to understand that we must know that God's word is real. God is trying to change your life for you to live. It says, so when an unclean spirit goes through, he goes out of a man, he goes through dry places. So he's moving around and it's dry. He has nowhere to go. All right, so he goes through dry places seeking rest. See, that's the thing. You see that word? Seeking rest. So think of it like this. The spirit that was cast out of you, that drug addiction, that homosexuality, that adultery, that lying spirit, everything. Remember the Bible says all have sinned and come short of glory of God. All sin is sin. So we don't need to be put, well, that one's like that. That one's like that. No, God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's something wrong with you, and me. So the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when that spirit of sin was cast out of you, he was in the dry place. He wasn't jumping for joy no more. See, this is how it looks. Before you were saved, the devil was in you having a party. He was having a good time. He was always drunk. Now he has been cast out of you and he's in dry places. He's seeking where he can go. And know what he knows? He knows one thing. He knows what home looks like. Oh, you don't hear that? The devil knows what home looked like. So he said, I'm going back home. They might have kicked me out, but I know my way in. So the devil knows that he's gone out. And it said, then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. The devil is saying, I'm going to return to my house from which I came. And when I come, I will find an empty swept and put in order. This is the word of God. He said, you will find an empty swept and put in order. Your life is in order now. Some of us have been restored. And before, when the devil was using you, you couldn't have a relationship. You couldn't have a family. You couldn't have a job. You couldn't have children. And now God has come and blessed you with all these things. And the devil says, I see that you're cleaned up and you're swept out. He said, this looks good. This house has been cleaned up. We have been clean, church. You have been clean. You have been changed. God did his contract. He said, every man that calls on me shall be saved. Jesus did it. That settles it. But where the problem came was when you refused to understand that there's a troop that's coming back to visit you. And this troop that's coming back, he's not coming with just a few. Look at this next scripture, what it says. It says he comes and he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they entered and dwell there. See, so what the devil does. Okay, yeah, you did get clean. You did get cleaned up and you're looking pretty good right now. But now the devil says, know what he does? I'm going to use a little illustration. Come with me, brother. Come with me. Come with me, young man. Come with me. Come with me, Jose. Come with me. Brother, come with me. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I need another. Oh, yes. Nice. Come on. Come on with me. Come on with me. Come on, brother. Come on with me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Come on out right here. You see what you see there? Now, I was once in here before, but I was just hanging out on my own. So the devil was like that. He had you addicted, and he had you on his own turf, so he didn't need much help. But you see all these brothers right here? The devil went and said, listen, I need your help. This soul has been cleaned, has been restored, has been born again, but we got to get back in. And we got to destroy their life, take everything they ever, ever desire to have, and destroy it because their soul belongs to me. That's my word to my troop. And then when they go in, they do not go in to make friends, but they go in to destroy you. You may be seated. The stronghold. The stronghold is what we're talking about this morning. That's why churches are closing, because, see, the church don't realize that. The house of God is not a place to party and have fun, but it's a place of a restoration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's part when they said, for God I live or for God I die. Think about who and what you were before you got saved. You were undone. You were miserable. You were wretched. Then God saved you and you refused to line up with his will. In the Old Testament, the watchmen were on the lookout for the schemes and activities of the enemy. See, so in the old, the watchmen were on lookout for the schemes and activities of the enemy. You see what I mean? And some of us see the same spirits come knocking at our door and show up like this. Hey, can I get back in? And you know what you do? You are hanging out with the bad friends again, the ones that aren't right, and the ones that don't want to go to church or don't want to love God. And you sat around and you let that spirit back into your life. But all I'm going to ask you, church, as I get ready to wrap it up. When Christ came in your life and you said, I do to him. Did you at least turn back and look at what you once was? Now, when the devil had his way with you, where did you end up? What did you lose? Who was no longer in your life? That's the plan of the devil. So the Bible says that he come that we may have life and have it what more abundantly. He is offering you life. And I'm going to tell you this. As you see what's going on in society today, this is what the word says at the end of this. It says, and then when he comes, he finds an empty swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. So the spirits get back in, they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. That's why some people cannot get delivered, because they have allowed the enemy back in. Some of us have been saved or have been set free, but we are not totally convinced that we're ready to let go of the world. Nothing is going to go smooth when you're in a battle. And that God is trying to let you know that he, you know, that's why back in the day the church was all about everything looks good, all the songs about happiness. You know, I couldn't take it. I didn't even want to hang around the church because it's like, come on, please. They wanted Christian schools, Christian this, Christian that, Christian, and you know, every movie wasn't realistic. I'm like, come on, I can't take that. But when God comes in a life, you don't have to put yourself in a cocoon. You don't have to be fearful of what the enemy has, because guess what? You have God in your life. He's more than enough to overcome any enemy that comes for you. And the Bible says that we're the light of the world, so we belong out there, and we're supposed to be able to stand up against the works of the enemy, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But like it says in the scripture, and I want to get ready to end with this statement, and he says, then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and see right there, the last state of that man is more worse than the first. And then right here, the next verse that it says, right after it says, so shall it also be with this wicked generation. Now, some of us are saying, why is it that America doesn't feel the same? Why is it all over a mess now? Because when we turn our back on God, the devil came in with seven more spirits. What you see in the government and all over the authority that's going on, the Bible says a lie is as witchcraft. I don't care if the person standing up against homosexual or abortion and then the church all jump in. No, you got to try the spirit by the spirit. What I'm saying is it's called holiness of hell. It doesn't matter. There's no political line with Jesus. When Jesus was here, he came to set the captives free. And the church should not be preaching doubt or fear or battling with the flesh and blood, but we fight against what? Spirits in high places. And the Bible says in the last day, you wouldn't know the truth. You wouldn't even be able to identify who is truth, because they're going to come as sheep and wolf in sheep clothing. Men and women of God, they're going to prophesy in his name. We need to stop trying to stand up for a cause and start standing up for righteousness. And that means it's got to start with us. Half of the people in the lines trying to get other people right are not right. And so what we got to do is see that the enemy is, he already brought all his spirits in. And he's trying to mess a nation up. He's trying to mess churches up and families up. But church, guess what? Our God is an awesome God. And he reigns forever. Hallelujah. Watchmen were on the look for the schemes and activities So keep watch and guard the exposed places. Now, I wanted to end with that. The watchman was to watch and guard for the exposed places.